This is the news and talk of Nevada. Now, Nevada Outlook, a discussion of Northern Nevada issues on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning, I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. In case you missed it, let's take a look back at hot August nights that just wrapped up this week.
Skip Cole, great to meet you. You got a Roadster, my favorite of all the cars out in hot August nights.
Yeah, it's a 1931 Ford Phaeton two-door deluxe. Very, very rare. I cruise it all the time.
Let me take a quick scope of this for the folks at home that maybe can't get out till the weekend. This thing is gorgeous, and of course, it's my favorite color, purple! Why purple?
I wanted something different. Nobody copies, so I did it all myself.
How long you been restoring this?
Well, it took me 4.5 months to redo it. I've had it for 14 years.
Oh, sounds like the Torino in my garage right now. We've had it for 11 years, and it's still on blocks.
Right on.
But we'll be out here someday.
You'll get it. Just takes a little time.
What? You really customized the heck out of this thing. Tell me all about it.
Well, the outside is done by myself. It's all house of colors, candy paint. The inside's got four different colors in the interior. Mm-hmm. My son did all the stereo work. Every speaker that you're looking at has boxes to it. They're in boxes.
This thing's cool. Let's get in and take a ride.
Go.
You're making my dreams come true. This is a bucket list for me, Skip, just so you know.
Okay.
All right, what do I do?
Sit down and behave.
Sit down and behave. You don't know me very well, my friend. Let's put this in my lap for a sec.
Can you see the name of it?
What's it called?
Misbehaving.
It's called Misbehaving? Oh, I picked the most appropriate car out here for me. All right, so how 0 to 60 in?
Depends on what cop's chasing you. If I had a couple of cops, we'd do pretty good. I have a hard time catching me.
How many awards have you won with this thing?
Oh, about 106.
106 awards? What's the best one?
It's hard to say. I think Modesto American Graffiti, I've won that twice.
Oh, that's cool. That's the one that was after the George Lucas movie, right?
That is, yes. We're getting ready to go back next week.
All right. Let's do this.
You got that.
Oh, this is so cool, Skip. You must
yes,
get...
That's it, man. That's your ride. You're done.
You know, I just celebrated my anniversary yesterday, but, you know, all options are open at this point. Oh, it's for sale? I got to tell my husband about this. Honey, you got to buy this for me.
Happy birthday.
Nice. You get a lot of looks in this thing when you drive, huh, Skip?
Very much.
So you have one of the most unique rides out here. What kind of engine are we talking about?
We got a brand new Crate 350 Chevrolet motor, high performance.
So you put a brand new 350 in this thing?
Yes, ma'am. It's got a 400 turbo transmission, got a shift kit, 2200 stall, so it'll run.
All right, very, very cool.
And it can be loud.
So
it can be loud.
It can be loud? Let me see. What'd you just do to it? Did you press this button down here? What is that thing? Overdrive?
No, it's cutouts.
It's a what?
Cutouts.
Cutouts?
Yeah.
I learned something new today. What's that? You gonna lay a patch right here or something?
We're not allowed to do that.
Bummer.
We get kicked out.
So what does that do for you?
More faster.
Okay.
More louder.
So what's the top end on this thing?
Probably 120, 125. And the front end will pick up because the wind gets underneath the front fenders.
Oh, wild. Well, this is one of the coolest cars I think I've ever seen out here. And probably the coolest car I've ever driven in out here.
There
Skip,
you
thank you so much for the ride. How huge is it to have Hot August Nights back in Reno this year?
Very, very often. It's awesome.
Tell me about it.
I've done this for 27 years, so I'm not a rookie at it.
Tell me more.
Tell you more.
I mean, seeing everybody coming back out.
Oh, it's great to see all my old friends. from all over the United States. You get them from Texas, Arizona, Oregon, Washington.
Michael Montez, you're out here with three generations today.
Yeah, yeah, this is my grandfather.
This is
Ray,
Grandpa. What's going on, Ray?
How you doing?
Are you excited about this year's event or what?
Yeah, I'm ready. Let's do it.
I know, we missed out last year. It's time to get everybody together again.
Yeah,
Michael.
My father.
What's up, Dad?
How you doing, Richard?
Hi, Richard. So you guys are three generations of car collectors.
Yes.
Go ahead, Michael. I want you to tell me all about what's going on here. What's this green thing right
here? Yeah, sure thing. This one right here is a 49 Chevy Fleet Line. As you can tell, they've chopped the top, also lowered it. They have what's called airbags on it as well. But yeah, just a lot of nice bodywork that they have on here. Working on the interior as well. We got some nice leather in there. Full dashboards, really nice, good setup over here.
Was it a junker when you got it?
You know, it was getting there. It was getting there. But that's the whole part of it. That's the camaraderie that you have with family. You come together and you make it work. I'm not going to say it was a junker, but it was getting there. It had some rust on there. But we were able to come together and put this beautiful piece together.
And this is your...
It's my father's vehicle.
What number in line of restorations of these four vehicles is this one?
You know, I would say that would probably be the second or third.
Okay, so the first one was this guy over
here.
Yeah,
this is right? My grandfather's. This is the 47. This one, I'm sorry.
This was the first one you guys started working on?
This one, yeah. This one right
this
here.
This car is beautiful. What is this? Tell me about
47 Chevy Fleetmaster. As you can tell, it just has a lot of exterior work redone. It has a gorgeous interior. A nice commemorative little M67 grenade there for our veterans. Also, it has some humor. We'll go on that on the other side as a nice little South Park.
Is Grandpa or Dad a vet?
No, I'm serving as well.
Oh, so you. Yeah. Thanks for your service. Oh, it's you.
The
okay.
Army.
All right.
Yeah, so we have some nice little artwork, pinstriping artwork on here.
And did you guys do this all yourselves? Just you, the three of you guys?
You know, we also have a lot of great family friends that help us work out. So there's our little humor there. We got Cartman from South Park. I'll spare you the expletives.
Casa Bonita. All right, this is my favorite thing.
You know, I wish I could tell you what exactly this was, but that's the glory in it. It is, again, a conglomerate of so many different... generations of work and generations of car work.
Break it down. What was it to begin with?
You know, when we first got it, and let me just say, the work altogether probably took 3 years. But when we initially got the frame of the vehicle here, we probably had that almost 10 years ago. So you
and what was the frame?
10 years. Just the frame right here. The chassis per se.
Of a 40.
Yes, a 40 Dodge, and
okay.
That's actually what you see here. 40
okay.
Dodge truck. Once again, you know, as you can tell, we've definitely chopped the side here and put on the suicide door, so these actually come out. I would open them, but as you can see, the vehicle is actually slammed to the ground. I can't even...
I noticed that. That is so wild.
Put a finger in there.
Don't you feel paranoid when you're in there? It's so tiny. It's like one of those mini cars.
No, it really is. It's probably... It is a fun little ride. It's a gamble.
I don't know. I'm kind of scared of riding it now that I saw the interior of this thing. And then the last thing, the piece de la resistance, or I probably said that wrong, but what the heck? What inspired you guys to go this route with this vehicle?
You know, that definitely goes more to my uncle. He wanted something with the same inspiration of the vehicles that we have here. Not per se the rat rod. But per se the other ones that we've had. So he just wanted to do his take, his fine artwork, and kind of mix everything together and have his masterpiece. Yeah, so as you can see, they smoothed out the center, smoothed out the interior. We put on these traditional Mexican Hispanic blankets. Always gotta stay true to the roots, as my family says.
I love that.
And of course, the as you can tell, the dash it's has a flat black interior, but it does keep its luxury with the pearl.
Michael, it's a tradition. How long have you guys been coming out to Hot August Nights, man?
Oh man, I think the first time I went, I was probably about 8 years old.
And this this is a big tradition for your whole family.
Oh no, we're out here for usually the full week. Even my mother's out here, my grandmother's out here. The women get involved, and it's a great thing. You know, we go inside, have a good brunch or gamble, you know, and it's just always a great time.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
The news and talk of Nevada. This is Nevada Outlook on News Talk 780 KOH.
Good morning. I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook. Today, we're talking with Aaron Meyer from the Nevada Department of Wildlife about cold water shock and how to stay safe when you're out on Lake Tahoe this summer. Cold water shock. It's no joke, right?
It really isn't. I looked at the temperatures for the next few days and it's supposed to be 80 plus up in Tahoe, and the water looks like it's going to be about 55 to 56.
So what does that mean when it comes to cold water shock? Explain that process.
Yeah, often what happens is, I mean, sometimes it's even a person jumping off the boat all by themselves, but you're on a boat or you're on your paddleboard and it's toasty outside and you think, I'm just going to jump off into the water to cool off. But you don't realize that water, as pretty as it is extremely cold. And that shock of going from 80 degrees to 50 degrees is so drastic that what often happens is while the person's underwater, their first instinct is to gasp. And you take a big gasp of water, and you just started the process of drowning.
And, we're talking with Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife about cold water shock and general overall water safety when it comes to having fun in the summer sun. So what's that process? We talked about that in the past. You have, like, limited amount of time once that happens.
Yeah, you really do. We refer to it as the 1-10-1 rule. If you hit the water and you don't do that gasp underwater, but you're still, you know, freaking out because your body's reacting to something much colder than it thought it was going to get, you have a minute to get your breathing under control, because what happens a lot of times is the person will hyperventilate while they're in the water because they're freaking out. Their body's reacting to how cold the water is, and they overreact or they can't calm down, and they hyperventilate and pass out and drown. Let's assume you fell off the boat and you were the only person on it, or you fell off your paddleboard or whatever it was, and that is now left. So you have 10 minutes to figure out what you're going to do to self-rescue, because during between 5 and 10 minutes, your body is going to start shutting down your legs and your arms. It's going to start protecting its vital organs, so it's going to start pulling back. What it thinks it's doing is saving you, and it's really putting you in danger, because you'll realize very quickly that you no longer have use of your arms and legs. So swimming to the shore is out of the question. You have 10 minutes to either, let's assume your boat capsized or whatnot. You have about 10 minutes to get yourself on there and, you know, start yelling for help or whatever it is. You don't have a lot of time. And what happens is a lot of people look at the shore. It's 100 yards offshore or even 75, 80 yards offshore. You don't have that kind of time. You're not going to be able to swim to the shore. You have to self-rescue. Obviously, only real answer to fighting cold water shock is wearing a life jacket, because if you fall off the boat and it's cold, like, your body will still react to how cold the water is, but the life jacket's keeping you above the water, and then you won't. The drastic need to get on top of the boat or to find something to float on isn't quite as drastic because you have a life jacket. Like, the life jacket is going to put you in a position where you can call for help now, and you don't have to figure out what to do during that 10 minutes, you know, where your body's going to start shutting down.
It buys you some time at that point, right?
It does. The life jacket, as is always the case, the life jacket is your answer to almost every problem you're going to have out on that water. And especially with cold water shock, that life jacket will definitely save your life.
Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. What other steps can we take to be safe on the water? I know there's some rules when it comes to kids under, is it 13 or 12 when it comes to being 12. On bodies of water in Nevada?
It's funny because the law is kind of confusing because, yes, it's under 13. If 13 and above, there has to be enough jackets for everybody on the boat, but 12 and under, they have to be wearing it if the boat's out on the water.
And what if they're just swimming on the shoreline? I know that I took a ride with the search and rescue team a couple years ago, and one of your guys was talking to a 12-year-old out on a paddle boat without a life jacket. Once he gets past the shoreline, he's pretty much required, if you're 12 and under, to have that on, right?
I have to be honest. I spoke with a game warden on that very topic, and I said, you know, how far offshore does someone 12 and under need to be to have that jacket on? And he said 2 inches. He said, once you're on that kayak or paddleboard or boat and you're on the water, you legally have to have that life jacket on. So I know it sounds silly, but, you know, if you're 2 inches offshore, very soon you're going to be 12 feet offshore. So there's no specific, and now you need to wear your life jacket. you just need to wear your life jacket.
Can you relay that story that you and I chatted about the guy that got the ticket?
Oh, I was on patrol with some of our game wardens, you know, just to get some pictures, and a rather large individual on a paddleboard was only, I would say, 15, 20 feet offshore, but he had no life jacket on his paddleboard, and he got a citation. Because that's the flaw. You have to have, because we just talked about cold water shock. 15, 20 feet offshore, it's still 55 degrees. The law, there is no set amount of distance from the shore where the law kicks in. If the law says you have to have a life jacket on your kayak or on your paddleboard, you have to have it on the board. It's not, oh, I'm just going to be, you know, 20 feet offshore.
Yeah, let's
people
be real clear.
People get in trouble 20 feet all the time.
Let's be real clear for our listeners. That means that an adult 13 and older, or a teen or an adult 13 or older, has to have the life jacket on board the vessel. They don't necessarily have to be wearing it, but there has to be one for that individual on the vessel. But when we're talking about a 12-year-old or, you know, brothers and sisters out 10, 11, or whatever the case may be, those kids need to have those jackets on all the time, regardless.
Correct. And there's the thing that we're always talking about is yes, a child 12 and under, there is no time when they can't have a life jacket or when they're allowed to not have a life jacket on. You have to have a life jacket on the kids 12 and under. If a game warden or anyone else pulls up to your boat and their kids aren't wearing their life jacket because they were whining or complaining or it was too hot, you're going to get a ticket, because we understand that kids whine about pretty much everything, but the goal here is to keep them in the safest place possible, and that's in a life jacket if they're on the water. Anyone 13 and over, you have to have a life jacket on that kayak, on that paddleboard, on that boat for everybody there. What we always say, and this is where, you know, people raise their eyebrows at me, is I'd prefer if you all wore your life jackets all the time when you were on the water. I mean, I understand the law says it only has to be on the boat, but if there's an accident, you're not going to have time to go searching through your cabinet for the life jacket. If your boat hits a rock and people get ejected, they're not going to be wearing their life jacket. So you will have been legally, you know, following the law, but now you just put people in danger because they're not wearing a life jacket during a collision, and now they're in the water, you know, struggling. With the life jacket's there for a reason. It's for if you accidentally get tossed into the water or get hurt, the life jacket's going to keep you floating. If it's in a cabinet, it can't do that.
Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. And this is a great time right now. People are getting ready to get on their boats for the first time, or maybe they already have. Check that equipment and make sure everybody's got a life jacket. And if it looks kind of funky, it's not too much to replace them, right?
No, they're not. They're not expensive. And that's exactly right. Is what often happens. Well, not often, but happens is people, you know, they buy those jackets when they got the boat, and then 7-8 years later, it's the same old jacket stuffed into a cabinet, and then maybe it's become worn or a little bit. But if you have any questions, just go replace that jacket, because you don't want to wind up in the water, and that's when you find out that the jacket's faulty.
Where can people learn more about safe boating and recreating out on our lakes and rivers safely with their families?
We have lots of great information on our website at ndow.org. There's a whole sections for boating safety, but there's also whole sections about things you can do out there with the boat. Like, all things boating is on our website. So definitely go to ndow.org if you have any questions. And my email's on there too. So if you have a specific question, shoot it to me, and I'll ask our game wardens and make sure I get you the right answer. Because as you and I have talked about before, I'm not trying to tell you not to go out there boating. I think it's one of the greatest things you can do. And Tahoe is one of the best places to do it in the world. So, by all means, if you have if you have a kayak or a paddleboard or a boat or friends who do, and you have a chance to get out there, get out there. Just do it safely so that everybody comes home and we just have a good time.
Aaron Meyer with the Nevada Department of Wildlife. Thanks so much for the conversation today.
Thank you.
I'm Daniela Cennino, and this is Nevada Outlook.
On air, online, on demand. News Talk 780 KOH.